Well, it is good to have everybody here today. It is an exciting day around here at Navigation Church because around 7:30 this morning, we told you earlier, we had about 40 young adults and 10 chaperones climb into a car and head out to Florida, and I'd say it this way, for a week-long revival. And I am absolutely thrilled. How many are excited to be a part of a church that has 50 people, 40 of them young people, that raised money themselves, took time off work, scheduled their life around to be able to go, ready for this, to go to church for 5 days straight? That seems like a really cool thing. And so we just celebrate. I know they're watching us right now as they're driving. The drivers aren't, but other people are in the van. So hey, teens, if you're in the van, give me the loudest shout you possibly can. Make sure that driver's staying awake. That is humor for me and me alone. So I came up early to say bye to all of them, and a lot of the teenagers were like, oh, are you going with us? And I'm like, no. I mean, no. Like, I had to change my initial reaction, but the thought of being trapped in a van for 12 hours with teenagers, my oldest is 9. I'm still working through the ages. I haven't got to that teenage mode yet. So here's what we're doing. We were talking about the full armor of God. If you're joining us online, we are absolutely thrilled that every single week more and more of you are tuning in to find out more about us. I want you to feel as connected to this community of faith as those that are joining us live. If you're ever in the St. Louis Metro East area, please stop by and meet us. We'd love to shake your hands and say hi face to face. But for all of us, we are talking about the full armor of God. And today, we're going to start with this thought. Sinaserum. Pretty exciting. Yeah, no, I'll say it again. Don't worry. It's a Latin word, sinaserum, which means without wax. Okay, so this is going to be a crazy thought. But 2,000 years ago, there were businessmen that were actually crooked. Isn't that hard to believe? I know we don't deal with that nowadays, but 2,000 years ago, there were people you couldn't trust. So these businessmen, and during the Roman and Greek time, they would make these pots, and as they were cooking the pots, in order for them to harden, sometimes the pots would crack. But they already had enough money invested into them, they didn't want to throw it away and start new, so they'd take wax, they would fill in a crack that would be in the pot, they would color the pot or the crack the same color, so the buyer would come, look at the pot and go, hey, it looks good, take home the pot, put stuff in it, put it on heat. Do you know what would happen the moment heat hit the wax? Which you got to talk back to me. It melted, absolutely. Why? Because that's what wax does underneath heat. And so all of a sudden, you think you purchased something that was good, and all your stuff that's in it, when the crack shows up, what happens to all your goodness in the pot? It leaks out, obviously. So here's the thing. In our life, when we have heat applied to us, do any of your cracks show up? Let's say it this way. When you get fired up, let's say anger. How many have an anger issue? Don't. Okay, thank you. Appreciate the honesty over there. Keep the camera on me. So, but let's be honest. Sometimes you get angry because what is anger? Here's my definition. I'm angry because you're not being who I want you to be. Isn't that kind of a good definition for anger? And so what we do, rather than changing our definition of what they should be or changing our expectations, we get angry. And then we get a little bit louder. And we start getting fired up. And the more fired up we get, the deeper that crack seems to be revealing. Because more of that wax that we apply ourselves so that the world around us thinks we're perfect keeps melting away. And eventually you go, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I could say words like that. Well, yeah, you did. When enough wax melted away, you're able to say anything that's inside of you. And so it's when we get fired up, when you get fired up with lust, not when you thought you'd come to church and hear today. But let's be honest, there's times in our life where our eyes see something that we want. And I'm not talking just a physical thing. I'm talking about the Ferrari that I've been praying that God gives me, and he just hasn't yet. Like, I saw it drive by, and all of a sudden I'm not in my Pontiac at 160,000 miles going, I lust after that. I'm getting pretty fired up, and I hope he hits the gas, and I want to hear the roar of the engine, and then that car drives by, and all of a sudden a girl walks by. What's starting to happen on the inside? Is there any other red-blooded American men in here? Okay, so you start getting fired up, and if you get fired up enough, you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I actually clicked on that. I can't believe I actually said that to him or her in order to try to elicit a response that would kind of fuel that lust that's inside of me. Why? Because you're getting fired up. And when you get fired up, the wax of your life that covers the scars of who you are begins to melt away, and everyone sees that you're flawed. What about pride? When someone attacks who you are, you're a man, you're a woman, this is who I am, this is what I know, and all of a sudden they attack you, and you know what you do? You start getting fired up, and you start having a fight with them in your mind, and you're winning because they're not there to talk back, and you make sure they respond properly to you so you have the perfect comeback to attack them even more. Why? Because my pride has been challenged, and the last thing I'm going to do when I get fired up is back down when my pride is coming under. So that's when I go to revenge. I'm going to think through how I'm going to get them back, and I'm going to post something online in order to get them. And I actually, this past week, this is a true story, I read something online. It fired me up. It was stupid. I'll say it. It was a dumb post, and I felt like I was God's gift to judgment. So I was going to tell him that. But then I typed it all out, and you know when you type in all the keys, and you're just going at it, and I stop for a second, and I go, hey, Dallas, he's my brother. I go, are you anywhere around? He goes, I could be there in about 10 minutes. I go, I think I need you to talk me off a ledge. Before you hit send, let someone else proof it, right? Because here's the thing. I felt revenge. I felt like I had to defend Jesus. How much more righteous could someone be? But here's the thing. When you start getting fired up too much, the places in your life start melting away. And here's why I keep saying the words fired up. Because the enemy is planning on shooting arrows at you. But not any old arrows, arrows that are flaming. And here's why I say that. So we've been reading out of the book of Ephesians. It says this, Ephesians 6:16, in addition to all this, in addition to all what? Give me 30 seconds and I'll explain that to you. It says this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So guess what? One of his main tactics is to get you fired up. And when you get fired up, the cracks in your life start showing up. Now, before we go on to what is this shield of faith, it started off in addition to all this. In addition to all what? Well, instead of me just reviewing it, I'm going to ask a special guest to come up here and help me. This is not just any old special guest. This is my boy Silas. So here's how we do it in the Amston household. We do two claps and a Ric Flair. Woo! Okay, so in order to greet Silas to come on up here to the stage, can I get two claps and a Ric Flair? Woo! Do people know who Ric Flair is? If I do this, you know what that is? Okay, good. Thank you, old NWA. Come on up here, pal. So at the very beginning of our conversation, I told you there was a picture of me in a basketball gym all dressed up. I can't find the photo. So instead, here's a picture of me all dressed up, because this is my boy. So this is Silas. Silas, you're popping them and you haven't done anything yet. So here's what it started off with in addition to these. In addition to what? The first thing we have is a belt of truth. Good looking belt of truth. I was going to wear this for you, but that was more like a belt of thigh. So, belt of truth. Belt of truth is the very first thing we put on, and it actually covers our entire midsection. To the core of who we are, we have to understand this. There are truths in life. And if you don't think there's truth, if you don't believe there's absolute truth, then what are you going to base your life on and how you're going to live out the principles in which you live? So I believe here at the Navigation Church, the Bible is an absolute truth, and God, who created everything, has an opinion on everything. Right? And so then we have the breastplate of righteousness. Look how tough this is. Put your hands down. I'm going to hit you real hard. Ready? That's how tough he is. You good? Give me five. Okay, so breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness, big fancy word to say this. Right living. You may know the truth, but if you don't properly apply the truth to your everyday actions, you're not living right. You know why? I know I need to save more than I spend, but when I spend more than I save, I didn't properly apply that principle in my life, right? So right living is the next thing that you put on. Then you shod your feet. Isn't that a great word? Shod your feet. How many got up this morning, put on your outfit to come to church, and you're like, oh, hey, honey, I forgot to shod my feet before I walked out. So it's shodding your feet with the gospel of peace. And this is that because you know the truth and you're going to rightly apply it, now you can have trust in God that he will walk you in a path of righteousness, so you'll have stability to stand and you'll have mobility to move. So this is that. Now, in a couple weeks, we're going to cover the helmet of salvation. I think this one's your favorite, the sword of the Spirit.
I'm gonna stab you.
You're going to stab me? We're not going to cover that one today. Golly. You're your mother's son. So, okay. We're going to talk about the shield of faith. Now, before we talk about the shield of faith, there were two types of shields back in the day. One was a round one, and you may be saying to yourself, that looks like Captain America. It's not. This is time period correct, because that's what we had at home. Okay, so the first shield that a Roman soldier would get during this time period is a shield for themselves. So if they were in battle by themselves and someone would come to get them, guess what they would do? They could block it. But if it came from a different direction, they could block it. Pretty simple, right? I'm pretty much doing this because I told my son I was going to hit him with the sword and the shield. Oh, look at you, you aggressive thing. You give me that back. Okay, here we go. But the other shield that was given to the Roman soldiers at this time was actually a longer shield, specifically as tall as 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide. So that when, do me a favor, kind of squat, kneel down like that, you could actually hide behind it as a shield to extinguish the arrows. So it was meant to cover more of who you are, but it even served a greater purpose than that, which we'll come back to in a little bit. But the first thing I want to point out with this, it says to take up the shield of faith. These first three pieces, 1, 2, 3, it says put on. You always live with truth. You always live with right thinking. You always live under the gospel of peace as you move forward in your life. But there will be times in your life. How many have had times of peace before? It didn't feel like, can I say it? It didn't feel like all hell was broken against you. It felt like everything was peaceful. But then something shifted, and now you feel under attack. That's when you pick up the shield of truth. Why? Because here's what the shield of truth is. Faith is rooted in truth. Faith is rooted in truth. Because if you don't believe it, you won't have faith in it. You can tell me this parachute's going to keep me from hitting the ground at 100 miles an hour, but if I don't believe it's true, I won't have the faith to jump. You can say that God is my protector, but if I don't believe you, I'll never pick this up and actually let him be my defense. You know what I'll do? I'll get all fired up. I'll go get angry. I'll let my pride rise. I'll seek revenge, and I will make sure to get you back in what you... Hang on a second. God's my high tower, and he's my refuge. It's in him whom I will trust. But if you don't believe that truth, you'll never properly apply faith to your life. How awesome has he been? Give me two claps and a Ric Flair. Good job, pal. Love you, man. Okay, guys, that's Silas. He's here. He'll be here all day. Try the veal. He's too stinking cute. So, okay, so here's the thing. Now we just need to talk about what is faith. So the next 30 seconds, you will not be quizzed on. Because I had to try to figure out what is faith. Here's what faith is. Faith receives provision. It saves us from sin, frees us from guilt, fills us with the Holy Spirit, pleasing to God, purifies our heart, sanctifies us, brings revelation, justifies us, gives us access to God, it edifies us, makes us right with God, brings security, brings confidence, brings blessings, brings hope, and it produces good works. That's just a few things that faith does. Here are the types of faith. There's a faith that receives, a faith that reckons, a faith that risks, a faith that rests, and a faith that resists. So long and short is, we won't be able to cover the full topic of faith today. Is everybody okay with that? Like, it's impossible to cover that much of faith. So we want to narrow it down as tiny as we can to say, when we pick up our shield of faith, what does that mean? When we pick up our shield of faith, how does this extinguish the arrows of the enemy? So I would say this, we're going to look at how to resist. And faith is based on truth. So faith is based on truth. What truth? God's truth. So when it comes to politics, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your marriage, and when it comes to relationships, when it comes to immigration laws, when it comes to schooling, when it comes to all these things in life, you ready for this? God has an opinion on it. He really does. And he has really good opinion because he created everything and he knows how it works right together. So here's what I would say faith is. Faith, I'm going to read it to you. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Okay, I'll say it again in a little different way. I believe that God's Bible says that if I spend more than I make, that I will be in debt and I'll be slave to a lender. If I believe that is truth, then I won't want to step in that direction. Because if you are still paying a minimum credit card debt at 16% interest, I promise you every month you feel like a slave to that lender. But if I believe the truth that, like an ant collecting a little bit every day, that you'll have a storehouse at the end, if I believe God's truth in that, if I believe that God is telling truth, I'm going to act like that. And I'll start stepping out in that way. And when I step out in that way, not only am I the truth, I'm moving out with my faith that what he says is actually true. And you might not know this, you might not believe this, maybe you're new to this whole Jesus thing. God really does want the best for you. He actually gave his life so you could be fully alive. And so this is what faith is, but here's the problem is, faith always has to deal with our feelings. Feelings are a horrible thing when it comes to faith. Because usually God will call you to do something in faith that messes with your feelings. Why? Because faith isn't what we see. I have faith that this table is in front of me. That's not faith, that's reality. But if, and here's the thing, right? Lately, for those who don't know, the current building and facility that we're in, it's under contract to sell. Because we believe that God has told us to move. But in moving, there also needs to be money. And we don't have it all. So God, do I have the faith that you'll meet us there? And then in that, in praying, we as a staff, a few times we've talked about, you know, do we do just a capital campaign is what they call, just to encourage people to give over an extended period of time in order to be able to have the resources we need to do what we're supposed to. And I was praying and praying and really feel like, yeah, there could be a season where we're going to do that. But then God told me a number that I thought he called me to give. And all of a sudden, I wasn't as excited to do this. Because I'll tell you now, next month, I can't write that check. It's bigger than me. I can't do what he called me to. And if I stay there, then my works never move forward. And if my works aren't moving forward, my faith isn't moving forward because my faith doesn't believe in his mercy. Okay, let me reverse engineer that so you understand what I just said. So I believe at this point in time, God doesn't need to do anything more than he's already done to provide for all of us. So at the end of this service, when we ask if there's anybody here who wants to receive Jesus as your Savior, if you say yes, Jesus doesn't have to go back on a cross and die for you. He's already died for you. When it comes to the healings that we need, Jesus doesn't need to go say one more prayer. Mercy is everything we ever need sitting over here in a bank account. Faith is the ability to write a check and withdraw from those mercies. And if I have the faith to believe those mercies are available to me, I begin working out my life just a little bit different. Does that make sense? So I don't think you need more faith in life. I think you need more truth in life. Because the more you know about God, the more you know about his provision, the more you know that he comes through for you, guess what? The more faith you're going to have that he's going to do it for you, so you start taking bigger steps because he's already done what he said he's going to do. Now he's calling me to go there. Guess what? I have the faith that he'll do what he says he's going to do. And so, do you pray for more faith or do you pray for more truth? I say you pray for more truth. Because after all, it's the center of who you are, so you can rightly live in peace as you move forward. And when the attack comes, you go, actually, God, I know you've called me to this place, so you'll help defend me here. And faith is so important. And in Matthew chapter 13, I think it is, yeah, Matthew 13, 53 through 58. So you know Jesus. You've ever heard of this guy before? He walked on water, raised the dead, blind eyes open, fed 5,000 people with a Lunchable. I mean, just did some amazing things. So he's in his hometown preaching one time. While he's in his hometown preaching, everyone is amazed at his preaching. But then someone said this, isn't that Jesus, the son of Mary? You know, Mary, an angel got me pregnant. Mary, like, because there had to be a rep about her, right? I mean, you just don't let that one fly and everyone goes, no, we're okay with God impregnating you even though you were engaged and you and Joseph shouldn't be engaged. So like, yeah, we're good with that. And then they go, hang on, not only is that Jesus, that's Joseph's son. He's just a carpenter, right? Yeah, there's his brothers. And he names like three brothers. Isn't that just brother? And his sisters are even here. So what they did, they took who Jesus was and they devalued him down so low that Jesus said to them, a prophet in his own town will receive no honor. And the final sentence in chapter 13 of Matthew says this, and Jesus was unable to perform miracles because of lack of their faith. Wait, Jesus can do what he wants. Jesus can't if you don't believe there's a box of mercy that you can get from him. So I don't want to say it's up to you, but if there's a healing that you need, if there's a freedom that you need, do you have enough trust in what God said he can do, he will do, that you'll allow him to do it in your life. If not, is it you stopping the miracle from happening because you don't actually believe Jesus does what he says he can do? And actually, when you circle back around this thing, you usually get fired up, some wax melts out, and you become the ugly side of who you are. Amen. Okay, so here's the, Tony Evans says it like this. Act like it's so, even when it's not so, in order for it to be so, simply because God said so. I wanted to say that was mine, but it was Tony's. He's really good. Dr. Tony Evans. Act like it is so, even when it's not so, in order for it to be so, simply because God said so. Now, there's one thing about Ephesians 6:16 that this whole week I just couldn't get off of. I couldn't stop focusing on it, and it's a really simple word. So let's go back and just read it one more time. It said, in addition to all this, of course, the armor that we have on all the time, and we now have the opportunity to take up a temporary thing in order to do something that we're called to. It says this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish. And I'll tell you now, this may seem weird to you, couldn't get off the word can, because I think it should be the word will. It will extinguish all. It must at all times. So the word can means you could have the shield of faith, but you'd still get hit by something. So is positioning important? And so in order to demonstrate this, here's what I need. Mark, can I have you run up here real quick? Brent and Steve, I think we can do it with three. John, we can do it with four. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Hi, good to have you. I know you're thrilled to be up here. So, okay, line up in front of me, straight across. Arms straight out, small bend. Okay, there's your shield. This one, come down. Okay, remember these shields, 4 foot long, 4 foot tall, 2 feet wide. So in the Roman times, if there was an enemy attacking, here's what these men would do. They would gather up close enough where their shields would actually interlock. So it's no longer a person standing there with a shield. It's now a wall of men standing there with a fortified wall in front of them. And here's the thing. This is so important that I know somebody here has dealt with this. When it comes to your armor that's on your belt, that's on your chest, that's your feet, and now your shield, you know there's one place that you don't have armor? On your back. So the problem is, it can extinguish an arrow unless someone stabbed you in the back. And here's what the sad thing about church is. I know for a fact there's some of you that have been wounded, not because of an attack coming this way, because of someone who you thought had your back this way. But here's what you have to hear about this. It wasn't God, it was a person. You know why? Because in doing life together, we deal with people. And people hurt people. And it wasn't that God intended, actually you were in the place. I think your faith works best when it's interlocked with the community of faith around you. I think your faith is going to be the strongest when it's interlocked with faith around you. Your faith, even if it's not an arrow you can see, there would be other soldiers that would come up above and put a top on it. And if the enemy was too great, then there would be soldiers that would come in every direction. And next thing you know, it wasn't a fortified wall. It was a fortified circle from the front, from the back to the surround. Up top, everything was covered. And when pressure would come in, you would actually have the shield pushing against each other. The only way for them to break is for the metal to break because the pressure of the outside life. Why? Because you were built in a community of faith. But what do you do when someone inside the wall hurts you? God never intended the armor to work for that. He intended for the people who were with you, locked arm in arm with you, inside this wall to protect you. Please don't blame God for something he never wanted. And if someone say, well, that was the will of God, I challenge you on that. You know, the Bible says in Thessalonians, the will of God is for you to love him. The will of God is for you to worship him and pray to him. That's the will of God. But the will of God is to have someone stab you in the back? Now, you guys show me a scripture on that one. Can you guys see this picture? So if you've been hurt today because someone in the back, find forgiveness for them. But don't let your faith and your trust in these shields wash away. Can you say amen? Can you get that? Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, thank you. Amen. Thank you, guys. Hey, two claps and a Ric Flair for them. Okay, so last thing I want to throw out to you. So we have our shield of faith. I already told you there's nothing on the backside. So if you're retreating from God, you're also vulnerable. If you're running from God, you're also vulnerable. So I thought about this, and here's actually how I came up with this question that I want to pose to you. Anytime at the church we start a new ministry, the final questions on the back of the application is, when will you know this ministry needs to be shut down? So years ago, we had a tape ministry, but now we have a podcast ministry. So we shut the tape ministry down. There was no need for it. You know, if we open up a ministry to feed the hungry, but then we strike oil somewhere nearby and this becomes the per capita, the richest, you know, county in all the nation, we may not need a food pantry anymore. So it's okay to shut things down because we're not eternal, we're temporary. We're called to be on missions for a while. So I was thinking about shutting things down and what do we need, because churches are great at starting things, they're horrible at closing things. And so what are we doing that we don't need to keep doing? Is there anything that we need to shift from? And I started thinking about that, and this question popped in my head. What would need to occur in my life that would be so painful that I'd run from God? I'm not trying to be morbid, but what could occur in your life that you would question who God is? So here's the example I played to myself. I get a phone call from the police that my wife and four kids have been in an accident and they're dead. They're my life. Would I run to God? Would I run to my brothers and go, and I don't know if I can hold up my shield, but can I be found behind yours? Would I drop that faith and go, there's no truth in this? What if you get a phone call that you have cancer? Is that enough for you to go, is there really a God? What if your loved one leaves you? What if what you thought would be true in a relationship that meant the most to you was built on lies and they had abused you? See, I think if an answer came to your mind at all, you need to know that your faith here at Navigation Church is based on someone else's faith that you will be faithful to yours. Amen. But then take that broader. When it comes to the church world, my faith should be being built that the person next to me will be faithful in their faith. But if there's somewhere in your life where you go, no, if that happened, I think I would question. I think I would doubt. I think I would run. I would encourage you to do this today. Figure out the truth of who God is in that area. Because if not, you're just going to keep lining your pot with wax. And one day there will be enough heat to test that. And when that heat is applied, who you are, do you want it to just seep through and fall to nothing? Or do you want to be found in the potter's hand going, no, they've dealt with that crack. They dealt with those questions and they stand in the truth that who God says he is. I think it's a spiritual or soul assessment, if we could say it that way today. What could occur in your life that would make you question or want to run from the front lines? And if there is a place, here's the thing, it's not guilt, it's not condemnation. It's an honest evaluation where you go, okay, why don't I trust God in this place? Because if you don't have trust in who he is, the faith that you're supposed to have will always fail you. But if you fully trust him, let the arrows fly. They'll extinguish them because it can, because you positioned yourself properly. You know, I want to pray for anyone who would maybe be struggling with their faith, questioning their faith. I absolutely want to pray for anyone who's felt like they've got stabbed in the back when I thought I was in a fortified wall and now I'm bleeding from my spine. I want to pray for you, but I also just want to say this. We're all here having a conversation about this because we believe in an ultimate truth that Jesus Christ died for us. Maybe something new that you've never heard before. Maybe it's an expression you're unaware of. But we believe 2,000 years ago, mankind was on a downward slope of demise. We were destroying ourselves. We were destroying each other. We were vile. We were abusive. And we were full of, I'm going to use this word, sin. We were falling short of the glory of God. We were violating kind of these eternal divine principles that were outside of us. And all of a sudden, God goes, I am so upset of the brokenness that I see, I'm going to step in wholly to bring them freedom. So Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven, out of eternity, onto earth in order to walk with us, walk with humanity, to have a personal relationship with us. But it came to a point when he was 33 years old, of the right age, where the payment of our sin, the payment of our destruction, the payment of our death came due. And all of us combined couldn't pay that debt, but one man could. So the Roman soldiers didn't grab him. The disciples didn't give up on him. The Pharisees didn't free him. Here's what it is. Jesus gave himself to die for us. It's so that you can have ultimate freedom in life. So the first thing that I would love for you to apply to your life is the truth that you need a Savior. And even in me saying that, I say it this way. You're tired of filling the cracks in your vessels and trying to hide who you are to the world around you. You're tired when heat's applied that you seem to melt before it. You're tired of trying to act like something that you aren't, and you're no longer wanting to deal with that pride, that lust, that anger, that revenge. You want a different life. Jesus Christ is available for you to have that. And so I'm going to ask you, would you want to enter into a personal relationship with him? But in order to feel like I'm having a conversation with just you, could I ask everybody, just to respect the people around you, could you just close your eyes, bow your heads, and then that way no one around feels the pressure that you're looking. No one around feels the pressure like, oh, they're counting heads. We're not doing that. Here's what it is. We want to ask you this very simple question. If you're here today and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to free yourself of your sins and fix yourself of those cracks, I'm just going to ask you to simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision. Just so you can see, I see that hand back there. Praise God. I see those hands. I'm actually even going to talk to you watching us online right now. The same question goes out to you. And you're going to have a tab pop up in front of you. Just say yes. Let us know that you've made this decision so we can celebrate with you just like those sitting around this room right now. So in order that we don't single out one or two people that raise their hand, could we all say this prayer together? Dear Jesus, I'm tired of my cracks. I need you. Become Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. And may I be found standing behind your wall of faith. God, I thank you for every hand that went up. I thank you for every decision that happened online. And God, we celebrate that. But I also take a moment right now. And Lord, I actually want to pray it like this. I allow a spirit of grieving to occur for anyone who was in a wall of faith and got wounded from behind. I right now release a spirit of grieving to properly mourn for that pain. But God, we don't stay at that place. Let us mourn it, but let us find forgiveness there so that we can be free. And any place that we took it out on you, God, we're sorry. And God, any place in our life where we would go, this level of pain would demand that I run from my Savior. Lord, I pray that we find a truth beyond every reasonable doubt that you are a good, good Father. And may we find ourselves standing in those places and find peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.